All right. And when you arrived in Scotland, when you came to Scotland, what age were you?
26.
26 years old.
Yes.
Yeah. How did you get to Scotland and why did you come here?
I was in London and I got married to Scotland.
To a Scottish?
No. Jewish refugee.
A Jewish refugee. And where did you meet?
In London. The day war broke out in Woburn House on another occasion, a gentleman was sitting beside me and we got talking. And we had dinner together and he said he was there to try and get permits for his parents from Vienna. He was Viennese from Vienna. He was there and he has very good connections. By this time I was 18, it was 38. He can help and do this and that. He pretended to be very friendly with Sir Stafford Crisp, who was very famous in those days. Anyhow, I thought he can do something for my parents, etc. I better not lose this contract because you needed it. And we got married. My father sent over from Holland his brother to come to London to see who this man is. They were not, you know. So this brother, apart from lots of other people, wonderful, wonderful. Well, it turned out he was not so wonderful. He did not say an honest word. And he did not only take me in. He took this brother of my father, who was in his 60s, various other prominent business people. He stole from them all. We got married in December 38, when I was 18, coming on for 19, when I was 18. And it lasted till I was 26, because I had the greatest difficulties in getting a divorce. The divorce laws were completely different in these days. Very difficult to get a divorce. It took 6 years. The case had to be taken to the House of Lords for the divorce laws to be changed before I could get a divorce.
I'm asking about your social life.
Yes,
when you were in
it wasn't very pleasant.
Mainly Jewish or non-Jewish?
Mostly Jewish. I was the odd non-Jewish one. I wasn't selective, but it happened to be.
Yeah. So what kind of things did you do?
We mainly went to each other's houses. We went to the pictures. I mean, money was short with everybody. And heating was expensive in everything. We led a normal life, not like teenagers live now, and we didn't buy clothes or anything, which we didn't need, because you could bring a lot out of Germany. That was one thing you had. That was clothes. So shopping didn't come into it.
So your parents were in Germany?
My parents, by that time, were already in a camp. They emigrated from Germany to Holland, and they were taken to camps from Holland.
Okay, we'll maybe go back over that later. I want to continue with life in London. So you worked...
Yes.
In this one job, really,
yes.
For a good 5 or 6 years.
Yes, and you were 46.
Living.
I lived together with my aunt in a flat which we had rented. We had no real. The landlord didn't live in the house, so we had the top floor.
So yes. So after the war finished, you got married.
Yes, that was a little story.
Yes. My goodness. So how, I take it you weren't working at that time then.
Yes, I was.
What were you doing?
I was a secretary in various companies, big companies. First in a textile firm. They were Jewish. Okay. And a very good job, very nice people. The owner of the firm, I knew, called me in one day and said, look here, you can stay with us. There's absolutely no question. But if you want to become naturalized after the war, it's not good enough for you. You must have done some war work.
Okay.
So he did it in his best to advise me. I said, thank you very much. I said something. And I went to the labour exchange looking for a job. And I said, I'm prepared to do almost anything. I don't want to join the army, which is suggested, the Pioneer Corps. I said, no, thank you. But I'll do anything. I go on the buses, or it doesn't matter. Anyhow, they got me a job in a farm in Baker Street, quite convenient. So I turn up, and there are several girls sitting there in a fairly darkish room, and I kind of look around. There's somebody, and they said, oh, don't worry. Take your time and do this first, and make up. And I said, no, I want to do some work. I got a piece of cardboard this size, and a pair of scissors, and I had to cut out round certain circles. Now I thought to myself, I can't do this, driving me nuts. No boss arrived, nothing. I went again the next day, it's the same thing. Now I said, this I cannot do. I asked to see the boss. And the boss, oh no, this is only temporary. We are expecting the proper work to come. I said, when is it going to be? Oh, any time. I said, excuse me, in the meantime, I'm really not very keen. He said, that doesn't matter if you're keen or not. I have your papers to the War Office, and you are here. Again, I thought, this can't go on. I knew very well a refugee gentleman. He was an expert in pensions. And he was working for the British government. So I spoke to him. His sister actually lived in Glasgow. I spoke to him, and he said, not at all, he said. You go to him, you ask for your papers. If he refuses them, it's just too bad. Then I have to take the matter up with someone else. Back the next day.
Yeah, so he told you you're entitled to ask for your papers back?
Yes, I'm entitled to ask for them. He's entitled to hold them. He can send them back to the War Office. You needed permits. Mm-hmm. Go back the next day and tell him. And he was very downtrodden, very kind. By that time he said, now look here. If you stay with me for another, I don't know, two or three days, because I have very important people coming, and after that, I give you papers. I said, I'm very sorry. I want the papers now, and if I don't get the papers, I'm just going. That was me. So that was that. I went back. This gentleman told me, you first now go back to the labor office, who gave you the job, and tell them. Now they were appalled. It was a set-up firm. They were doing tax evasion. That was all they did. There was never any work.
So you discovered it pretty early on?
I was there for less than a week. Mm-hmm. So they were very sorry, but they had been diddled as well. Mm-hmm. Then they were not very careful what job to give me, because I needed to work. Mm-hmm. I then got a job in a very, they made armaments, but also there was the one and only firm in Britain who made perforating machines for passports that had all perforations in it these days. We don't have that now. Mm. Our passport number was in perforation. Nobody could change it or anything. And they made parts for aircrafts. Wonderful job. Absolutely, completely non-Jewish. So I started my work there, and my immediate boss was, he really ran the place, a Quaker, fabulous man. And he said to me right away, I am so glad you are not working as a secretary. You wouldn't have much work to do, but it's not the thing to do. I stayed with that firm till I got married for 5 or 6 years. Wonderful job.
You were happy there?
Oh, fantastic.
So what was the reason for you and your husband to come to Scotland?
Because my husband had a position waiting for him in Scotland.
How did that happen?
I met my husband and a close friend of his at the same scent-filling party. Mm. They had been partners in a business in Germany. so had their fathers already been partners. Now these two fellows, both are married in London, and the one never joined the army. He wasn't fond of these kind of things, these other things. And he saw a job advertised by the Scottish Cooperative Wholesale Society, SW. He applied for this position in Glasgow. He went here. He got this position in a textile factory. They had lots of factories, the SCWS. And he made it a condition that when his former partner, who is in the army, gets demobbed, he can join him in this position. So we came to Glasgow.
Excellent.
So my husband went in January 46 to Glasgow, and we got married in March. I thought everything was wonderful. It was the coldest winter we had since this year.
So looking back over the years that you've lived in Scotland, mm-hmm. what would you say were the highs, the best of times?
We had a very bad spell in Glasgow. We had a very, very serious court case in Glasgow, being dealt with in Glasgow, which was certainly... that started in 1952 and finished in 1958. We were under pressure for 6 years, plus a newborn child and a mother-in-law in the house. Yes, it is a business matter. It's nothing but a business matter. The SCWS wanted to do us in. So we had a court case which lasted for 6 years.
So it must have been a very harrowing time then, with a young child.
It was terrible. And my husband was in the witness box for 3 full days, 8 hours at a time. It's not easy. Because though you do nothing, but you have to watch the whole thing all the time. And some of the others kept on saying to their solicitor, you don't listen to him, he doesn't speak proper English. And our solicitor said, don't you feel ridiculous, he can better speak English than you can, you know. In court, I was never there. So we won the case. Our solicitor, a very famous Glasgow solicitor, said right away, you have to reckon on it that they will go against the result, because the co-op is so rich, they can do anything. They know you can't do it. They will take the case further. It went to the House of Lords, and we won again. It is something now which is taught to every law student. It is in every book. Yes, it's the law of minorities. Every lawyer knows about it immediately. We worked, as I told you, with the SCWS. Eventually, with their permission and everything, we started our own business together with them. And they had 51% of the shares, and we had 49%, which meant, according to them, we have no say in the matter. But that was changed. The law of minorities was changed. Never must ever anybody do that.
So that was a very, very bad time in your life.
That was till 58. We were under constant pressure. Mm-hmm. My husband worked all the time, certainly. Came home at night. You looked through papers. You reread things. You know, this kind of thing. And after that, once this was sorted out, we started our own business. Without anybody else, no partners, no nobody.